This episode of Legion of News is made possible by our friends at Squires Electric, a brand new business partner. Squires Electric is a full-service electrical contractor for all of your residential and commercial needs. You can contact them at 503-252-1609, or for more information, go to squireselectric.com.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says the Fed will get more aggressive. A man in a camo suit robs a museum. And animal rights activists raid a Malala deer farm.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, people of Earth, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, October 15th, 2010.
It doesn't even seem possible.
That it's everything they need to know, or that it's October 15th?
Well, I would say primarily the former, but also the latter. Where does the time go?
Indeed, Rick Emerson. Indeed.
I'm sorry. I'm just busy thinking about Ben Bernanke's penis. You know, for no readily apparent reason.
I disavow Ben Bernanke's penis.
Officially? Formally?
And Brett Favre's penis.
All
famous penises everywhere.
That is the official position, by the way, of Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Providing a public service, as we always do. Here is Don Taylor.
A man dressed from head to toe in a camouflage suit, typically used by hunters and military snipers, tried to cut a hole in a museum wall to break in. Gregory Liascos, 36, is accused of secretly cutting a hole in the wall of an exterior bathroom at the Rice Northwest Museum of Rocks and Minerals in Hillsboro. The bathroom wall leads to the interior of the museum. Investigators said the caretaker first noted some unusual dust on the floor of the bathroom Monday morning. He cleaned it up, but then noticed even more dust on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he noticed yet more dust and some debris that he knew was not there the night before. He began to investigate and was led to an elevator shaft behind the wall of the bathroom, where he found a large hole cut through the plywood and wallboard. The caretaker reported the hole Wednesday to the Washington County Sheriff's Office. Knowing that the burglar might return to continue cutting the hole, they set up security equipment that would notify deputies if there was any activity in the bathroom. Patrol officers were alerted of a break-in the next day. They found a bicycle and a backpack that appeared to be out of place with the surroundings. They searched the area using a canine from the Beaverton Police Department. The dogs led deputies to a wooded area where they heard Liascos cry out in pain, and the officer realized there was a man hiding at his feet, dressed in what is known as a ghillie suit. Liascos of Portland was arrested on charges of burglary and criminal mischief. He was booked into the Washington County Jail. Nothing was stolen from the museum. Their existing security would have likely triggered a police response once he actually got into the building.
I was going to say this is a lot of trouble to go to break into a museum filled with rocks. But then again, what do I know?
I'll provide a better picture than this, but there's a printout of him standing there in his suit. It's one of those ones that snipers wear so that they will actually blend into the surroundings and look like a giant bush.
This is like if you need to pass as a Jordy Verrill or perhaps a Swamp Thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there space rocks of some kind of these museum? Are these rocks of tomorrow? Are these cancer-curing rocks?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Nor why, if he was breaking into a museum apparently during the day and not in, like, the brush, why he was wearing a full camouflage.
A ghillie suit.
A ghillie suit.
I have a Mickey ghillie suit that allows me to hide among mechanical bulls.
Was that made by Nudie?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not. You're listening to Legion of News right here at PDX.fm. I'm sorry, Cascadia.fm. This is like a whole, this is just like when Philip Morris changed their name to Advantia. Cascadia.fm. You can also hear this program via iTunes later on in the day or as an MP3 download at Cascadia.fm or at LegionofNews.com via iTunes as well or on your mobile device. It really is an exhaustive list of listening options you have. Mobile.Cascadia.fm at the news desk. This is Don Taylor.
Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke made it clear today that the Fed is ready to take significant steps to spur economic growth as the U.S. struggles with low inflation and high unemployment. He told a gathering of economists in Boston that, given the committee's objectives, there would appear, all else being equal, to be a case for further action. Investment advisor Hugh Johnson says the Fed chairman wants...
Who?
Hugh Johnson.
That's the only reason that I wanted to do this story. I don't care about the Federal Reserve. I don't care about Ben Bernanke.
The guy's name is Hugh Johnson.
We disavow Ben Bernanke and his penis. It really was just so you could say Hugh Johnson. That's it. I swear to God, there's the only... I know this has actual, this affects people's, you know, money and jobs and a livelihood and our future as a prosperous nation.
But you were sitting at home looking for... and I had already printed this story out separately as well, but my story did not have... a Hugh Johnson. And so, but apparently,
a few stories do, Don. That's what makes it so significant when you find one that does.
So it's delightful to realize you were apparently, I think, sitting at home.
Giggling to myself like a child.
Giggling to yourself. Don's going to say Hugh Johnson.
All right. By the way, this is normally the sort of bit of business that we would discuss off the air. But so we have this, run sheet we print out. No. Just... This is going to be fantastic. So we have this run sheet that we print out, every day that just sort of lets us know, just so it keeps us on track so we know when to do, science news, entertainment news. So this run sheet has, in fact, printed what appears to be 85 times. And I heard the printer just grinding away, and I thought, boy, howdy, there's a lot of news today. What a massive amount of happenings there are. And then I reached back and I picked it up. And it's not even the run sheet for both shows. I think it's just for like one show.
I swear to God, I told it to print two.
No, it's printed all, apparently. And by all, I mean all. I think it would have just kept going like until the rapture.
I wonder if I accidentally made it print like 20 or something.
I think it may have only stopped when it ran out of paper just now. So, fantastic.
Hooray.
The printer is just as excited about the Hugh Johnson story, apparently, as we are. Because it just wanted to print endless copies of the run sheet.
Well, feel free to take one of those.
Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll put the rest in storage. All right. What soundbite are we going to hear?
Well, this would be investment advisor Hugh Johnson, who says that the Fed chairman wants to see banks do their part as well.
Well, one thing they're trying to accomplish is they'd like to see the banking system in turn respond by increasing their lending to the private sector. That will lead to increased money in circulation, which will increase spending in the economy.
Yeah, these things never really live up to the overture. Also,
no.
He sounds more like a medium.
Medium Johnson
to slightly less than average.
Well, according to the New York Times, Bernanke is basically talking about bringing out what he calls the most powerful tool remaining in the Fed's arsenal.
Is Hugh Johnson the most powerful tool remaining? Get me Hugh Johnson!
I think Howard Johnson is right!
The thing is, and even saying Hugh Johnson is just, it's not like his name is Hugh Jass or something. Yeah. Hugh Johnson is even, that's a bit of a linguistic stretch, comedy-wise, even for me. But I mean, you have to make hay while the sun is shining, so.
we don't care about this anymore, do we?
No. Let me play this second Hugh Johnson catch so I can feel that my time wasn't wasted.
Anybody who runs a business and knows that they can't raise prices in response to some higher costs or that they're required to even lower prices knows what that means for their profit margins.
Okay, well, there you go. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up today at 1 o'clock at rickemerson.com. Twix now and then, we have entertainment news, science on the march, and much, much more. You are listening to Legion of News. This is Don Taylor.
A suspect was in custody after an officer-involved shooting and police chase in Tigard last night near the Washington Square Mall. Investigators said the suspect rammed his truck into a car in the mall parking lot. Two police officers happened to be filing a police report nearby and witnessed the incident.
Bit of bad luck, sir.
Authorities said the officers followed the suspect to Shoals Ferry Road, where the driver hit one of the officers. A second officer opened fire, but the suspect managed to drive away. A police spokesman said the suspect drove away erratically, hitting several cars and driving on the sidewalk along Greenberg Road. He turned onto Hall Boulevard, where officers managed to hit him from behind, causing him to spin out. There were no injuries to the suspect, according to a spokesperson for the Tigard Police Department. The Tigard officer was treated at the scene for his injuries after being struck by the vehicle, but he's in good condition. A posting from the Animal Liberation Front claims responsibility for a raid on a Malala deer farm. Owner Richard Bentley said he has roughly 80 European fallow deer that he raises for meat. He said that not a single animal left the property. There were no deer on the land when the fence was cut, despite the ALF claims. A website posting attributed to the group stated, "A large section of fencing was stripped away, allowing the captive deer herd a chance to escape into the surrounding forest."
Where they can be hit by cars.
But apparently, them being deer and none too bright, they did not escape into the nearby forest.
They got a guy who comes out and feeds it. Well, I mean, they don't know that at the end of the line, you know, it was a sort of like, you know, like a hammer between the eyes. But they got a brain the size of a kidney bean. What do you want? All they know is that they're living in a place where a guy brings them three meals a day. Why would you? It's a fence. I don't know. Some humans want us to leave the place with the food. F that. And so they just. And by the way, speaking of F that, I thought we all took a vote and left the Animal Liberation Front back in 1998, whence they came.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, anything that is a something liberation front, don't they just sound like really?
Really, if you want to liberate animals from your oppression, just kill yourself. That really is the only solution, really, to the whole human animal face off. Just remove yourself from the equation.
Well, the guy who owns the deer farm says that he thinks it's ironic because if the deer had left, it's hunting season, and so they would have very likely, just been shot. So
these things never really hold up under scrutiny.
So good work there, Animal Liberation Front.
Come. You're listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. This is Don Taylor.
The Obama administration is fighting a judge's injunction on the military's enforcement of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The Justice Department filed a request for a stay of the ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Virginia Phillips, who ruled early this week that Don't Ask, Don't Tell has a direct and deleterious effect on the military and should be suspended immediately. At their request, the government's attorneys argued that a stay of an injunction was needed throughout the appeals process to, quote, allow for an orderly transition to a policy allowing openly gay men and women to serve in the U.S. military.
Is this where it's like a 6-month period where, first you're just you're completely closeted, then maybe you're just wearing sparkly shoelaces, and then there's a like a gradual swishing up that happens before you're completely full on gay 6 months later.
Yeah, they allow you to start bringing
one Judy Garland record at a time.
Right.
Okay.
You start listening to Sondheim. You know, in the barracks.
Instead of that reverie in the morning, it's just Ethel Merman records blaring.
They need an orderly transition.
Yes.
For people to be able to say, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay.
And everybody else to go, okay, and then go back to eating.
Yeah. The Log Cabin Republicans, the group behind the Don't Ask, Don't Tell lawsuit,
said
they'll contest the government's request, but even if they lose, justice will be delayed, but it will not be denied. At least in theory, the president agrees with them. He reiterated this week that this policy will end and on my watch, but said Congress and not the courts should be the source of the policy change. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Defense Department officials have said they will comply with the injunction and instructed all personnel to suspend activity on Don't Act, Don't Tell cases.
By the way, you can always trust a politician when they say that something will end on their watch.
Yes.
I will promise you this, that if we have not gotten our troops out by the time I am president, It is the first thing I will do. I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war. You can take that to the bank.
That's how you know it's actually going to happen, is he made the take it to the bank reference at the end.
I failed to take it to the bank, so it may have been my fault.
It was just sitting in a drawer to your microwave.
Yeah, I still have it laying around somewhere.
Next to the scissors and the Elmer's glue and like a half-consumed pack of Dentine.
So, yeah, so if we still have troops over there, it's probably my fault.
Okay.
Retail sales rose 0.6% in September. Excluding auto and auto parts sales, they were up 0.4%. Retail analyst Britt Beamer says he's not impressed.
If Britt Beamer isn't impressed, then no one is impressed.
I think he's Huge Johnson's roommate.
A 0.4 increase is pretty puny compared to the fact that, you know, with all of Labor Day sales in September, that's a very minimal number.
Is this champ kind? Doesn't he have that? He has this sort of strangled yowling sound of like a West Texas football coach.
A 0.4 increase is pretty puny compared to the fact that, you know, with all of Labor Day sales in September, that's a very minimal number.
Well, you can't run a triple nickel defense against McCluskey. That's insane.
Is this the guy who wears the green Riddler suit with the dollar signs all over it?
The government's waiting to give you money. Yeah.
Beamer calls it a puny figure, considering Labor Day sales were counted entirely in September. He says he's worried about the holiday shopping outlook.
We're going to see this huge surge of shoppers on Black Friday, but I believe we're going to see more and more consumers get up earlier to get the deals, but they literally will buy nothing but the deals.
Okay, walk me through something again. I've forgotten. I know this is dumb because I've lived in this country, you know, like forever. I've forgotten why it's Black Friday. Wait, what is Black Friday? When is
Honest
that?
Honest to God,
is that the Friday after Thanksgiving?
Yes, it's the day after Thanksgiving. Honest to God, now I heard recently somebody said that they call it Black Friday because this is when retail stores are going to get into the black. But honest to God, I swear they used to call it Black Friday because it was the worst day in the world to go out shopping for anything.
Right.
And yet, all the idiots were getting up at like 6 a.m. To go to JCPenney.
And it is one of those things. I have to get flip-flops. They're going to be on sale. It is one of those things where, too, it's only the worst. I mean, it's sort of the inverse of the carpool lane. You know, which the carpool lane, we've talked about this before, the only reason the carpool lane works is because no one uses it. So it becomes then a whole, like, snake eating its tail thing. Where this is the only reason it's the worst shopping day of the year is because everybody goes shopping even though they've been warned, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So you're right. So the meaning of that has sort of transmogrified over the years.
Yeah, I've only ever gone shopping on Black Friday once. And it was I really, really needed a DVD player. And I looked at the ad for Target. That coming up, like, these are all our great deals, and they had just this insanely cheap DVD player. It was like a 5-DVD changer with, like, the whole, you know, home theater Dolby surround speakers. And it was like $88.
You couldn't afford not to buy it.
Well, I really needed one anyway. So, yeah, we got up in the morning, and we went, and we ran into Target and grabbed it and then ran right back out of Target, and that's the only thing we bought because I hate shopping.
2 or 3 years in a row, I didn't actually buy anything. I just would sort of just go out and be like at the mall or something. Because I'm kind of a sucker for the mall anyway. I just sort of, this is how interesting a person I am. When I was somewhat younger, when I was in my early 20s, I would occasionally just go to a mall and just sort of sit there for about 2 hours and just, you know, and just sort of let the assembled humanity pass me by. That was when I wasn't busy spending my nights at hospitals and airports because I just dug the fact that they were open all the time. So I was just sort of living like I was a less interesting Douglas Copeland character, just, you know, sort of wandering around. But I went 2 or 3 Black Fridays in a row. I would just sort of go to the store because it was so horrific that I kind of wanted to experience it. I figured it was a gaudy Las Vegas of the commerce world. It was just this distilled essence of America, you know, and all that was great, not unlike Las Vegas itself, all that was great and bad about America, like at the same time, because you could get, you know, a DVD player, you get a thing that, I mean, that really is just like massive space age technology that should cost you thousands of dollars for like $5, you know, and like a box top or something. Yet at the same time, you're just surrounded by just these loads on feet, you know, from Tigard. And so it was just, you know, it was the best of times and the worst of times. But then after about 2 or 3, you know, Black Fridays or whatever in a row, I think that was just sort of like I was done, you know, like that category, that experience. I've got all the experience points there I need. I don't need to do that anymore. You're listening to Legion of News. Here's Don Taylor.
California politics is taking its toll on residents of the Golden State. Many Californians are expressing frustration over the mudslinging and finger-pointing in the gubernatorial race and shaking their heads over the late... There's finger-pointing and mudslinging and head-shaking going on in this story. Over a budget that is trying to cover a $20 billion deficit and an initiative to legalize marijuana. One resident, Robert, asks and answers the big question about California politics.
I guess at this point, we only hope for
that
the regulators will give us some clarity about the expectations, and then we can plan on that basis.
Boy, the man on the street sounds a lot smarter than he usually does. Boy, they've clearly got some education initiative kicking in down there. I'm sorry. Now, once again, the man on the street.
Is it fixable? No, I think it's spiraling the drain, and it's only going to get worse. We have no leaders, I guess, is the problem.
Says this man speaking from inside a vacuum.
Robert is just a ray of sunshine, isn't he?
Okay.
Many Californians are embarrassed and frustrated over state politics, but some, like Armando, hold out hope.
You just can't put your hands up and give up and say there's no hope. Maybe one day, the granola-eating... seaweed sucking liberals will figure it out.
I guess at this point we're only hopeful that the regulators will give us some clarity.
All right, there you go.
Seaweed sucking liberals.
Seriously, I'm filing that one away. That's going to go in the archives to be used over and over again for no readily identifiable reason. You are listening to Legion of News right here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us on this fine Friday. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor. You can get this program later on today via iTunes as well as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at Legion of News. .com. Don't forget the Rick Emerson radio program comes up at 1 o'clock today featuring Taser Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week. And now, are we unveiling a Geezer Watch, or is it Geezer News, and then we're going to see how it plays and maybe then create a watch around it, do you think?
I think there needs to be a Geezer Watch. On a somewhat regular basis, there are stories about
old people
who do... things because they're old.
All right. So we'll roll that out later on today. Also, we're going to be talking with Dave Helfrey, better known as Baron Von Gulo, the man behind Frightown, which is awesome, by the way. Plus, we'll do the top five with the worst songs. And this is not the score. This is like the sound of the actual sort of pop or rock songs. It's the top five worst songs from a horror film. The five worst songs that originated as part of the soundtrack to a horror film. Which really, and there is some fierce competition for that. So we've got that coming up later on.
And these are rock songs, so like none of the tunes from, say, Mad Monster Party are included.
Well, I mean, I just put it under the general heading of rock/pop. But they did have to be complete songs in terms of lyrics and music, because otherwise then you're just opening yourself up to like every bad John Carpenter film from the 80s where it's like a cheesy synth score where it's like if you kidnap Rick Wakeman and then just made him play everything with two fingers on and his forehead.
Yeah, like Carpenter's music in Halloween, very very scary, very cool. His music in The Thing, not very good.
No.
His music in They Live, really, really freaking terrible.
Yeah, sparse becomes bad really quickly with that guy. So we'll do these are actual songs. Those are the top five worst songs from a horror film. You are listening to Legion of News, brought to you by The Cleaning Solution. Mr. Michael Beatty, the proprietor of that business and a supporter here of this fine radio program at Cascadia.fm. You can find out more about him and what he does at 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. It is cleaning for anything on the ground, on the floor of your home. Whether it's your linoleum, your carpet, or your tile, your walkway, flagstones, perhaps AstroTurf if you're Don Taylor's father.
Although if you actually live like in a mud hut and you have a dirt floor, he probably can't help you with that.
Well, he could. It would just be, I mean, really, when you think about it, for him, that would be an advantageous gig to take because then he just kind of keeps going forever. It's sort of a... You know, then it just becomes, it's a cyclical sort of a job. Mm. That is really the assignment that keeps on paying him. Although I would imagine if you're living in a place that is, it's like an adobe hut, you probably aren't going to have the wherewithal to call him. I mean, unless you've really got your price, unless there was a phone that was on sale on Black Friday for $88 and you couldn't afford to not buy it. So, It's entirely possible. 971-533-3211, The Cleaning Solution. Please tell me you heard it here on Legion of News. Or anything your feet might touch in your home, whether it's poultry, carpet, etc. The Cleaning Solution, 971-533-3211. Here is Don Taylor.
The 33 men trapped 2,258 feet below ground in a Chilean mine recently found out that they would be receiving no pay from the company responsible for their ordeal. Union official Evelyn Olmos stated that San Esteban, the company that operates the mine, has said it has no money to pay their wages and absorb lawsuits and is not even participating in the rescue. This according to the Daily Mail. San Esteban has a reputation for ignoring safety standards and creating thinly supported mining tunnels.
That's hard to believe.
That some have referred to as Swiss cheese. Family and friends of the Chilean miners feared that all 33 men had perished when the mine collapsed on August 5th, trapping them inside. 17 days later, rescue workers were astonished when they heard hammering coming from deep inside the mine. A new probe was sent into the mine, and a note was sent back which read, "All 33 of us are fine in the shelter." Since then, small amounts of food, blah, 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 blah. For many, the early joy of finding the miners still alive has been clouded by the mining company's calloused refusal to compensate them for their suffering during this tragedy. The miners' union has called on the government to pay the workers' wages starting in September, as well as giving help to the roughly 100 other people at the mine who are now out of work and 170 more who work elsewhere for San Esteban. Government representatives have responded by saying they are prohibited by labor laws from assuming responsibility for the salaries. For now, the issue will be left up to the mining company and the Chilean courts.
So they're basically the BP of the Chilean mining world.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing I was thinking about.
Because you had made those jokes, too, about like, hope they're getting paid. They should get some great overtime for that. No, apparently not. Apparently it's like, oh, you're trapped in the mine and you're not working. Well, screw that. We're not paying you.
By the way, we're going to backbill you for the rations that you consumed. No offense. The thing I was thinking about, though, is you got these guys that are all trapped down in the mine, and they're there for, you know, whatever, the 68 days or something. But that can't be the only mine that the company operates, right?
Right.
So, I mean, so do they halt all mining operations like in the rest of the, wherever it is supposed, or do they go, well, I mean, that's a lightning strikes twice kind of a thing, right? So every place else is probably safe. Get back in the hole. And if, you know, and what, it must have been odd to be like some other miner working for that company like down the road, you know, and you're just lowering yourself back into the ground or whatever. So I, the worst thing in a way that happened here is for the government to just step in and just pay the bill themselves, because then the company just goes, well, it looks like it's handled. I guess we'll just file for some sort of protective bankruptcy.
We don't have to make these mines safe or anything.
Oh, no, of course not. No, look, the government's sort of there to solve your problems for you. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Let's do a little science.
Fantastic. News. Here's Science on the March for Friday, October 15th, 2010.
The Denver Zoo says it's become the only zoo in the world to hatch endangered Komodo dragons for a third time.
That seems ill-advised.
The zoo said Thursday that in its latest feat, four dragons have hatched and four are still in the incubator. Denver Zoo curator of reptiles and fishes, Rick Hafner, said the zoo is only the second one in North America to hatch Komodo dragons this year. The four should be displayed on the nursery soon. Komodo dragons are the world's largest species of lizard and can grow to be 10 feet long and more than 250 pounds. They have a vicious bite and about 60 razor-sharp serrated teeth up to 1 inch long.
So let's get as many of them roaming around the earth as possible right now, especially in heavily populated areas.
So, go Denver! Swiss engineers smashed through the last stretch of rock Friday to create the world's longest tunnel, sparking a national groundswell of elation over a costly, technically difficult project that has been 60 years in the making. Trumpets sounded, cheers reverberated, and even burly workers wiped away tears as foreman Edward Baer lifted a statue of Santa Barbara, the patron saint of miners, through a small hole in the enormous drilling machine thousands of feet underground in central Switzerland. The 35.5-mile tunnel was born. The Alpine Nation reclaimed the record from Japan's Seikon Tunnel. Television stations across Europe showed the event live. The new Gotthard Base Tunnel was seen as an important milestone in the creation of a high-speed transportation network connecting all corners of Europe. It was first conceived in 1947 by engineer Edvard Grüner, and it will allow millions of tons of goods that are currently transported through the Alps on heavy trucks to be shifted onto rails, particularly in the economically important link between the Dutch port of Rotterdam and Italy's Mediterranean port of Genoa.
I'm so confused by this story. So it's from, I guess it would help if I knew where Switzerland was, or if I had any idea what countries bordered it. But it's a 35... I mean, if it's connecting all corners of Europe, but the tunnel's only 35 miles long.
Well, it's the first... It's a milestone in a creation of a transportation network that they hope to create.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's 35 miles long. It's taken, like, 2,500 workers nearly 20 years to build it, and it cost $10 billion. It'll open in 2017. And... Swiss voters actually approved this and are paying over $1,300 each to fund the project. So, but yeah, they hope to. Unfortunately, there are actually opposers, of course, in Stuttgart, Germany, who oppose plans to move the city's station underground, and they think the whole thing is a big waste of money. And
well, if it costs $10 billion, if it costs $10 billion, it took 20 years, and it's still not going to be open for another seven. And it's only 35 miles long, and let's say it's, oh, I don't know, 5,000 miles across Europe. This is one of those things where it won't be done, you know, until the year, like, 7590 or something.
Well, the whole underground system won't be done for a very, very long time, but at least this point in 2017, they'll be able to open this, and then they can transport goods via rail underground instead of sending these big, heavy trucks over the Alps, which is actually destroying the road systems and damaging the Alps, because... There's a lot of traffic that goes through there. It's the only way to actually get goods from Switzerland to, I guess it's Germany that's on the other side of the Alps.
Sure. I have no idea.
Okay.
All right. Here's Don Taylor.
That was all the science news.
All right. Well, really? Is that it?
That was it. It's a light day for science news.
All right. Well, there's science, not really marching, sort of gently striding.
Yeah.
Sort of a light canter through the middle of the show today. This is Legion of News, the Rick Emerson radio program. It's coming up at 1 o'clock today. Taser Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week. Talk to Dave Helfrey from Frighttown, and we'll have the top five, the five worst songs to originate inside a horror film. Here is Don Taylor.
The French government is trying to encourage people to pay for their digital music instead of pirating it. So France is subsidizing digital music purchases for 12 to 25-year-olds. Young would-be music pirates can purchase prepaid cards with 50 euros in credit for only 25 euros, which they can redeem online on subscription-based music sites. Expenditures for the two-year program will total 50 million euros, but the government is known for placing a high value on French culture. France is also trying to aid print media in the digital age by offering free newspaper subscriptions to citizens when they turn 18. The subsidy is intended to give a boost to French creative industries that have trouble keeping up with the digital world, while the nation, quote, fends off the barbarian Anglo-Saxon imperialists that are providing stiff competition in the marketplace.
That sounds like a quote. I can hear sort of from your inflection there that you're quoting somebody.
There were quotes. I'm not sure
who do you suppose is actually
quoting.
Saying that, and who are they referring to?
I don't know.
The Anglo-Saxon barbarian imperialists.
But anyway,
is that just Steve Jobs, or is it us?
Yes.
Are you in fact an Anglo-Saxon barbarian imperialist?
I like to think so.
Okay. All right.
So, do you think that would work in the United States? If you gave kids government subsidized like half off music cards,
I mean, what's the difference? Their parents are subsidizing it now, and they're not buying it. I mean, it's not like they're paying for it anyway. You know, even if you get some 13-year-old, you know, who is given the option of buying something, you know, or not paying for it, and they're not paying for it regardless. Somebody else already is, and they're still not doing it. So, you know. No, the answer to that is no. It's not going to work. Well, I mean, it's people are either going to, you know, pay or they're not. But whether or not the government's going to subsidize is going to have no impact on that. This just sort of seems like you're finding a gazelle with one leg in the woods and just taking a lot of money to build like some wooden crate in which it can haul itself around. It's not going to work. All right. It's just there's no helping the one-legged gazelle. All right. Write that down. You put it on a bumper sticker. No helping the one-legged gazelle.
Okay. For the second year in a row, retirees used to seeing their Social Security checks increase by a little every year won't get a raise. The Labor Department released numbers today showing that consumer prices for the third quarter of 2010 fell 0.6% compared to prices in 2008, as discussed earlier by
Hugh Johnson.
Britt Beamer. Britt Beamer.
The guy.
The last time an increase was awarded was in 2008. Because Social Security law stipulates the checks only get bigger if the cost of living goes up, there won't be any increase this year. Seniors and other Social Security recipients are irate. They say the roughly $1,200 per month they receive is insufficient for living in a troubled economy. This is the first time since the Social Security started automatically adjusting payments that two consecutive years have passed without an increase. Although last year, Congress included a $250 bonus check.
Here's the thing. If we keep screwing with old people, they're going to turn on us. And, you know, and I know that we've got youth and guile and whatnot on our side. But, I mean, but they, the thing about old people is they just have... They just have flat-out screaming malice working for them.
Yeah.
And so I just... If you anger too many old people, then it's just, you know, then it's a great gray wave going across the country. You don't have to fight that off.
Plus, we're all, you know, getting old, and we're spry and angry.
Yes.
All of us.
No, that's true.
So it's not just your dad and your grandpa anymore. Pretty soon, it will be you. Wow, that sounded a lot more... sinister than I intended.
A little Kevin McCarthy thing going on there at the end.
The European Commission is investigating the possibility that tax breaks enjoyed by the Vatican since 2005 were actually illegal. The case centers on 100,000 Italian properties owned by the Holy See, including churches, hospitals, and clinics. If the tax breaks were out of bounds, the Vatican could be forced to pay back 80 billion euros to the Italian government.
How satisfying would that be?
That would be great.
They'd have to sell that massive pornography collection that lurks underneath.
According to the Independent newspaper, if that happened, the financial consequences for the Catholic Church would be grave. Vatican financiers already fear the effect the pedophilia scandal will have on voluntary donations, the financial lifeblood of the church, and the Vatican is also facing allegations of money laundering in Europe.
I imagine. I mean, what if you ran a business and I mean, and you had like a 15 years long pedophilia scandal, but that no longer even ranked as the largest problem you had? The Catholic Church does not operate like they don't operate like other companies. They have a sort of a bit of a reality distortion field around them, I think.
An air traveler in Denver, Colorado, says rabbits took a chunk out of his car while it was parked at Denver International Airport. After a 9-day stay at the airport's Pikes Peak lot, Dexter Meyer returned from vacation and found that his car would barely start. He said, the repairman called me and told me that rodents had eaten through the wires. That's what the VW dealer said was wrong with his brand new Jetta. The dealer asked, you didn't just pick the car up from the airport, did you? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I did. And he said, we've had several problems with people having rabbits eating through the wiring. According to Robert Bogus, owner of Bavarian Auto House, they've seen rabbits and mice, and they're eating up newer cars. He said 2002 newer models seem to be especially tasty. Cars like Meyer's use a soy-based compound in the wiring. A recent customer brought an unexpected passenger to the dealership. There was a furry animal, and it was a rabbit. He said the airport has admitted that there are rabbits there and everywhere else in their parking lots, and there's really... they can't be sure that their bunnies were the ones that ate through the guy's wiring. But apparently it cost him $238 plus $55 for the parking. And the woman at the airport is saying that, you know, they built a fence, but the fence to keep the rabbits out isn't working and the rabbits are eating people's cars.
So in our quest to create automobiles that are safer and gentler for the environment and that don't consume petrochemicals and so forth, we've inadvertently created a kind of car that's going to be consumed by rabbits.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The new soy-based wiring covers are delicious to rabbits.
Wanted to make sure that I'd sort of properly processed all of that. Say, folks, if the wiring in your home has been consumed by rabbits or possibly, you know, whatever, you want to contact Squires Electric. Probably don't lead with the rabbit thing, though, because you sound crazy. You know, just start off when you go to their website or when you call them, which would be done at 503-252-1609. Maybe just, you know, be vague about the problem at first and then let them discover the rabbit cause later on. 503-252-1609. They're a brand new business partner at Legion of News. SquiresElectric.com is where you can find out more about them. It has to do with wires or wiring.
Or rabbits,
sure, in your home or business. They can make your life easier. And in fact, it might be, who knows, possibly in your car as well. I honestly can't answer that question. You know, you think that that's the sort of thing that would be the purview. Yeah, a word like that, you know, for mechanics. But then again, when I think of mechanics, I just think of, it's sort of like when you... It's like signs on the side of the road indicating, like there's a telephone up ahead that you can use or something, but they're showing like a telephone graphic from 1945. So whenever I picture a mechanic, in my head, I just get this sort of, this icon, this logo comes up of just three gears enmeshed together. So, like, in my mind's eye, mechanics, it's basically just a guy with a wrench, you know, in a big bucket of grease, which is probably not an accurate depiction of how mechanics behave. The point is, I don't necessarily know the wiring in a car being consumed by rabbits. It's really, whose umbrella, job description does that fall under anyway? I mean, if you went out and there were rabbits attacking the inside of your car, who do you call about that?
Well, I imagine you would call a mechanic. I mean, mechanics do handle the wiring in cars. That's part of fixing a car.
I don't know. Just a car full of bunnies. It seems like a pretty specialized problem.
Well,
first
you'd have to get rid of the rabbits, which would involve like maybe calling animal control or fish and game, depending on where you're located.
It seems like maybe there should be some sort of one-stop solution for this in Denver. You know, there's some, this is really, you know, it would be advantageous for some area businessman to create, you know, maybe a drive-through service where it's like a bunny extermination and then a rewiring, service all at once.
Well, not necessarily extermination, capture. You could probably humanely capture the bunnies.
No, so you do that, then they come back stronger, Don. You have to teach the bunnies who's boss. The rabbits have to be shown force right out of the gate. I think history has shown us this. Rabbits are just like Nazis in that regard. They have no illusions. Anyway, Squires Electric can be contacted at 503-252-1609. Free estimates. No job too small, no job too large, no job too binicular. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. This is Don Taylor.
It's time for entertainment news.
Are you saying the news hasn't been entertaining this far?
It's going to be about entertainment. I don't know what I'm saying.
Fail. Here's your entertainment news. This is Don Taylor.
Former teen heartthrob Leif Garrett has pleaded no contest to heroin possession in Los Angeles and will enter a drug rehab program. The 48-year-old actor-singer entered the plea Friday in Los Angeles and was sentenced to a court-ordered drug treatment program. Garrett was arrested in February after authorities found him carrying heroin in a Los Angeles subway station. He has had a series of drug arrests since the height of his popularity in the 1970s. A phone message by the Associated Press to Garrett's attorney was not returned.
That's hard to believe.
TMZ is reporting that Christina Aguilera has filed for divorce from her husband Jordan Bratman on Thursday, 2 days after announcing their separation. The 29-year-old singer is seeking joint custody of their 2-year-old son. The estranged couple married in November of 2005 and separated on September 11th. True Blood actor Joe Manganiello.
Is that in quotes?
The word actor?
Yes.
I don't know who he is.
No, having pulled the ripcord on that show like 5 episodes or something into this season, you know what that is? True Blood for me is like a browser window that I've closed. But I had it set on, like, you know, the Firefox privacy settings where it automatically just deleted the cache, the graphics, you know, the cookies. Everything has just been flat. And then it did, like, that Department of Defense 7 times overwriting of the files. It's gone, baby.
I think he's the sexy werewolf guy. I'm looking at a picture of him. And
you have to really be more specific.
He's just a generic handsome guy. So, and he's on True Blood. Anyway, he got engaged to his model actress girlfriend, Audra Marie, earlier this month, according to E! He's 33 and popped the question while they were on vacation in Italy. I always dreamed of finding someone who is beautiful and sweet in equal parts, he said, and I did. For she's just this unbelievably understanding and compassionate and patient from all the craziness that comes from this job and this lifestyle. And then he shapeshifted into a werewolf and ate her head.
Leapt off into the...
Michael Douglas's rep, Alan Burry, is shooting down reports that Michael Douglas changed his will since his recent battle with throat cancer. And he also told People magazine that the Wall Street Money Never Sleeps actor is totally focused on his recovery. Douglas recently finished 8 weeks of chemotherapy and radiation treatment, and the rep claims the actor is doing as well as can be expected. As for the will rumors, Burry concluded, Michael hasn't changed his will recently, and he isn't contemplating changing. Rolling Stones guitarist Keith Richards describes frontman Mick Jagger as unbearable in his soon-to-be-published autobiography. Richard says he and Jagger used to be friends, but have been estranged for decades. The details about his strained relationship with Jagger are spelled out in Richard's book, Life, which will be published October 26th. In an interview published today in the Times newspaper, Richard says he's given up drugs since he required brain surgery from falling out of a tree in Fiji in 2006. He says he and Jagger are discussing another possible Stones tour, despite their differences.
The thing about him giving up drugs is, I mean, I'm not saying he's making it up. I mean, Keith Richards has no reason to lie about that. I mean, it's like, who would possibly think less of Keith Richards if he continued to do, if he did more drugs?
Yeah.
He said, nah, I'm just doing them all now. I mean, we'd be like, oh, all right.
I fell out of a tree.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do more. Of course, when he said it, it was just sort of said like,
yeah, I mean, there's no, like, that's the thing you almost have to believe, because the downside of admitting to further or increased drug use would be like nil, non-existent. But then it makes you wonder if, you know, everybody sort of joked about a Keith Richards, you know, outlive a nuclear apocalypse and whatever. But it does seem that he might just be superhuman, because I could tell you, I've known the, you know, people, as you probably have, people of strong will and character who were not able to, quote, just give up drugs. People who've tried for decades to give up drugs. And then Keith Richards, who has, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's just, he's been treating himself basically like a combination petri dish and pharmacy for like 80 years or something now. And then like a year and a half ago or whatever, he falls out of a tree. And what the hell is up with that? And how did Keith Richards get, how did he get into a tree in the first place, by the way? Because you got to figure that he doesn't even, I don't even think he has cells left. I think he's just like a spongy sort of virus that is wrapped in a Keith Richards-shaped shroud of some kind that can play a riff. But he's in a tree, WTF, and then he falls out, and then he he says, well, I guess I'll give it up. And then he just quits. And I mean, it didn't seem like he ever went into rehab, or maybe they didn't tell us about it. He didn't have to go get his blood changed or whatever again. He just sort of, you know. So I don't know whether he was just some freakish, you know, dad spent a lot of time whizzing near a nuclear facility or something, and so that's why Keith is able to do all these things.
Yeah.
That's a guy that needs to be put into a lab, like, now and cut open.
I know, he does. I mean, if I eat, like, at Panda Express for dinner, it's like the sodium makes me feel just so crappy the next day I don't want to function.
Well, you and I have talked about that, like, if we just skip our Viso in the morning, if I'm like an hour late getting my coffee, I can't even walk. I mean, it's all I can do. Have you ever done this? And I know you
and
have.
Keith Richards is basically made of heroin.
he's like the Roadrunner diagram that Wile E. Coyote showed. And here we have butterscotch, lemon meringue, except with Keith Richards, you know, Percocet, Vicodin, heroin. But if you ever did the thing where you're actually, your caffeine withdrawal has kicked in so severely that you are in fact afraid to drive to the store to get coffee? Or like, you're getting in the car like, I have to get to the plaid pantry and get some coffee. And you are just hoping against hope that you will not, like, slide into a school bus full of children on your way to get coffee, because the withdrawal has just, like, you can't even see. You're basically just driving, you're inching along, smelling for cars that might come in front of you. And yet Keith Richards does heroin for 50 years and then just stops and is apparently fine. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. So, and this is, incidentally, the third alleged official biography or autobiography, I guess, he's put out. There's one just called Keith. There was one called Standing in the Shadows, and then I guess the difference is this is the first one that he is listed as a co-author. But I just sort of assume that guys in bands all hate each other, and that's just sort of the way that goes. I mean, it's just, you know, but I mean, if you're the Stones, the money making machinery in that operation has got to be so immense that there's just no way you can turn it off. You know what I mean? Like, that's got to be a thing that you couldn't quit if you wanted to. The money involved has got to be so massive, there's no way to stop it.
Well, and also, I really admire guys who figure out that just because, you know, you may not be the bestest of pals and want to hang out all the time doesn't mean that your working relationship isn't really good. I mean, I read something recently when Penn Jillette was talking about he and Teller. And he doesn't even really consider them friends. They do not associate with each other outside of work at all. But, you know, they get together every day and work on their act and do their stuff, and then they perform together. Then they go their separate ways and have their lives, because You know, they're business partners.
Right.
They're not buddies.
Well, that's what, you know, I've always said about, you know, whether you pick a band, whether it's the Beatles or Kiss or whatever, like, how hard is it to just, you know, just go to work? I mean, the rest of the world spends like 40 hours a week in a building filled with people that they flat out loathe. But they do it because it's like it's your gig and it's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're one of the Beatles, it seems like, you know, maybe it's not such a tough bullet to bite, you know, to just you go and spend a couple hours in the studio with George or something.
It's like us. We hate each other.
That's right, Don.
We hate each other.
I pray every day that you are, in fact, attacked by weasels on angel dust.
I dream that you will just slide under a gasoline truck and die tasting your own blood.
Well done. The Rick Emerson Show, where you can hear more of this fun-loving whimsy, will be coming up at 1 o'clock today. Taser Watch, Stupid Criminal of the Week. We'll do the top five worst songs created for a horror film. And speaking of horror, Mr. Dave Helfrey, who is Baron Von Gulo, the man behind Fright Town, he'll be in the studio with us later on as well. And we'll talk about this righteous jack-o'-lantern, which
it
is
There is a gigantic welded a metal jack-o'-lantern sitting here on the table,
which is just
delightful.
All right, here's Don Taylor. Are we at the end of entertainment news?
I have a couple more.
Okay.
Liza Minnelli is canceling 7 upcoming performances because she has bronchial pneumonia. Minnelli released a statement Thursday through her publicist saying she was ordered by her doctor to cancel her shows. In her statement, she says performing live is her passion, and she's greatly disappointed that she had to cancel the tour dates. The canceled performances include concerts in Spokane, Appleton, Wisconsin, and an October 29th appearance in Joliet, Illinois. She will also miss shows in Indiana, Massachusetts, and Tennessee.
I didn't really picture being, you know, in Spokane and finding myself surrounded by a lot of Liza Minnelli fans.
I think if you are a Liza fan in Spokane, it's probably a small group.
I mean, does it say what venue she was going to be performing at?
No.
All right.
Prince says he's planning a tour to begin in December that will feature him, his band, and other performers. The 52-year-old said yesterday at New York's famed Apollo Theater that he's announcing a series of events titled Welcome to America. He says he will perform with his band, the New Power Generation, and serve as master of ceremonies. The singer says Welcome to America is best described as what we've all been waiting for. He tells concertgoers to bring friends, bring your children, and bring foot spray because it's going to be funky.
Here's the thing about Prince. I was actually just pondering this the other day when he was giving that interview and he was talking about how the internet was over. He's like, you know, the internet's done, baby. It's finished. If anybody else, I mean, Prince, we've all given just a cultural bye to Prince. Because he's just kind of a jackass a lot of the time, you know what I mean? And he's another one of those, like, I hate the record industry, I'm retiring, I'm coming back, I'm quitting, I'm leaving, I'm back, I'm here, I've returned, I'm gone again. You know, and every time it's like a definitive, you know, well, this is my final tour, but now I'm doing a mystery show. And it's like, and everybody else who does that, we just immediately just go, well, like, yeah, few, you know, and, you know, okay, Glenn Frey, whatever. And then, you know, and we just sort of turn our collective backs. But with Prince is sort of like he's like a challenging but really bright child that we kind of love but don't really understand. Mm. But we just sort of indulge him anyway, you know?
I've been looking for a tagline though, like a catchphrase, and I think I'm thinking about stealing that. You know, better bring foot spray because it's gonna be funky.
All right. Mine is just gonna be I didn't remember what it was. Now it was a thing about something about rabbits and Nazis, and now it's gone.
Oh.
All right. Here is Don Taylor.
It's either that or my thing about disavowing people's penises, but I don't know. There's really only so many times you can say that.
Incidentally, that's a thing that we've referenced like 100 times so far the show, and I think it was actually the first thing that I said as we began the broadcast at noon, but we haven't actually explained what we're talking about.
No.
Is there a story about the story
didn't seem interesting enough to actually share. It was just the headline where it said that Gregory Favre disavows cousin Brett's penis. And just the idea of him disavowing his cousin's penis made me laugh.
Just like, not the rest of him, not his earlobes, not his coccyx, just the penis.
Right.
Okay.
The White House is, oh, we're done with entertainment now.
All right, there you go.
There we go.
Here is Don Taylor.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid faced off with Tea Party-backed Republican candidate Sharron Angle in a debate last night in Las Vegas. Political analyst Ed Rollins says the employment issue is hurting Reid among Nevada voters.
The reality is there are no jobs, and that's what people care about today. He has not produced jobs. Other senators have produced things back for their district. I think it is the public policy. He's passing bad public policy.
Democratic strategist Kiki McLean says the debate didn't really help Engel.
Is Kiki McLean a kind of spice that I can put on my popcorn?
I don't know that Sharon Engel actually closed the gap with Nevada voters in terms of bridging what some see to be her really extreme views, whether it's privatization of Social Security and the VA, or frankly her lack of understanding of what the health care reform is really going to do for folks there.
I believe, by the way, I believe she's the one who said that insurance companies ought not to have to provide for mammograms and colonoscopies. But I could be wrong. I do think that was one of her sort of things. But now I'm just on the whole, like, take off the pounds with Kiki McLean. And then it shows a woman eating something really bland, like just a big tub of cauliflower, you know, or just whey. And then you'd be like sprinkling a sort of like an exotic red looking salt on it. And then just saying, Kiki McLean.
It's sort of like a new kind of updated version of Mrs. Dash.
Or Molly McButter.
I remember Molly McButter.
Molly McButter.
That stuff was awful.
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't know why I've committed that jingle to memory, though. It's taking up space in my head.
Same reason I always think of that ancient Chinese secret, huh? I will give you.
I'm trying to think. I was going to say $1,000, but that was. But see, that's the sort of
but
thing.
You're lying.
That's the kind of thing you offer when you think there's a chance the person, you know, they'll never do it. Mm. When you think that it's possible that they might actually take you up on it, then you have to modulate things. I was just saying that I would give you a substantial amount of money. I mean, relatively speaking. If I could somehow film you actually going into like a laundromat run by an Asian person, especially if they're not Chinese, and working in, you know, the phrase ancient Chinese secret. Wasn't it a laundromat? Was that the was
yeah,
the
no,
in
it was
the
a
commercial?
Dry cleaner.
It was a dry cleaner.
It was a dry cleaner, and he took it and he wanted his the woman wants the spot taken out of the shirt, and the woman says, "Oh, we have an ancient Chinese secret for that." And she goes, "And it turns out I can't even remember what it is, but it was some cleaning
Tide,
product,
you know, or
and,
something."
And then the woman figures it out, and then she gets the shirt back, and she puts her hand on her hips because you see the woman at the dry cleaners go in the back and just use whatever this is on the shirt and wash it on a regular washing machine. But then the woman catches her and she puts her hands on her hips and says, "Ancient Chinese secret, huh?"
All right. Hey, here's a great idea. I'm going to give this one away. This is one of my patented fantastic ideas you can have for free. I swear to God, I'd do this if I had the money today. If I had the disposable, if I had the time and the disposable, you know, the income, if I wasn't, you know, if I wasn't just going to be spending that on electronic tchotchkes, I'd do this right now. Somebody needs to open a food cart called Ancient Chinese Secret. Right there.
I would
almost give you seed money for that if you, you know, just let Rick Emerson wet his beak.
You know, if you type in ancient Chinese in Google, ancient Chinese secret is like the fifth thing that it pops up as a suggestion.
That's fantastic. We should try to get it up to number one by the end of the month.
Ooh, the Calgon water softener commercial. It's actually on YouTube.
So
you can get the clip.
I think it was actually Sarah that had never heard it. She didn't know what we were referencing. And I think we actually had to track it down at one point and played it for her. You are listening to Legion of News. It seems like I ought to be doing like an ancient Spanish secret thing here, but that wouldn't make any sense.
No.
Cortez, huh? No, I got nothing. Let's talk about Castalia Language Center. They are in downtown Portland, Oregon. PortlandSpanish.com is the website there. PortlandSpanish.com. Clara Grebel is the woman who runs Castalia Language Center. She is a native Spanish speaker from Argentina, and she is operating a Castalia Language Center for people who trying to learn Spanish, or they learned some Spanish, but they just didn't learn enough of it. They didn't learn it maybe correctly because—and I like to think that this has changed. You know, now there's just more of an immersive approach to teaching kids Spanish or any language. But I remember just sitting there and a woman just coming around in the class and handing out those mimeographed sheets that it's like light blue on white and it smelled of Elmer's. And then you were supposed to look at this. And it was always smudged and blurry and you could never tell what the hell anything actually said. And especially in German where it's like the umlaut just made everything look like it was a Taurus symbol. It's all very confusing. So if you found yourself taking Spanish in high school or college or whatever, you just don't really speak the language, and you're saying, well, how do I actually know it if I can't speak it? Well, here's what you do. You solve that by going to PortlandSpanish.com, Castalia Language Center. They offer Spanish language classes for adults with class sizes limited to 8 people. Yes?
Ocho.
Has that just become your thing? Are you trying to make that into a catchphrase?
No, I just enjoy saying ocho.
Okay. I was wondering if it was some sort of obscure reference that I wasn't getting.
No.
Because I think actually there was one time, like a couple weeks ago, I was doing this, and you had to walk over to the corner of the studio to get something, and you made a point of running back and shouting it like into the microphone, and then scampering back to wherever it was you.
Sometimes things are just funny to me in my own head.
Okay. PortlandSpanish.com. Tell Clara Grebel that you heard about it here on Legion of News, right at Cascadia.fm. PortlandSpanish.com, and is Spanish language classes for adults. She is a proud sponsor of the program. We are glad to be partnered with her. On that note, let's bring the curtain down on another week's worth of Legion of News episodes. We thank you for joining us. Legion of News comes to you each and every weekday at noon right here at Cascadia.fm from high above the Milkpacking District and the Emerson News Network studios. At the news desk, it is Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Agler. And chief of staff is Cheryl Kanakoa. The ancient Hawaiian secret. This is all true. Coming up at 1 o'clock shortly thereafter, after a brief musical interlude, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemerson.com. Have a fantastic weekend. We will talk to you Monday at noon. This is Legion of News. Have a pleasant day, won't you?